I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to ModPath Chat, the official podcast of Modern Pathology, featuring interviews with authors and experts on the latest science, technology, and developments in the field of pathology. Your host, Dr. George Netto, is the editor-in-chief of Modern Pathology and the chair of pathology at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Here's Dr. Netto.
Welcome to ModPath Chat. My guest today is Dr. Andre Hess, professor of pathology at Charles University in the Czech Republic. Andre is a leading expert in geopathology who has made significant contributions to our understanding of renal neoplasms. He's really the odd renal cancer types guy. He really collect and describe many new entities. Today, he's joining us to discuss his recent publication in Modern Pathology. Thank you, Andre, for accepting my invitation.
Thank you, George, very much for invitation. It's my great pleasure and honor to be here with you.
Great. Sorry for the time difference. I think it's still not that late over there, but I'm glad you hanged in there for us to do this. I really enjoyed reviewing your teamwork on ALK rearranged tumors, and clearly, in geopathology, we didn't want to be outdone by lung pathologists and hematopathologists. Now we have our own entity with ALK and renal, and this study certainly expanded our knowledge for this rare tumor. So this is a provisional entity in the 2016 World Health, and this study really went molecular, FISH, IHC. I want you, from the design aspect, to share with our audience what's your favorite IHC and how do you interpret it for this, since it's a defining marker for the entity, the translocation and the expression. So can you expand a little bit about that?
Sure. We used the immunohistochemistry we used for that study, two clones, one Nichiray and one Ventana clone. For a routine practice, I would recommend the Ventana clone because we have a Ventana benchmark, so it's just easier for us to use the ready-to-use clone. I mean, for the study, we were very generous in counting of positivity, so means that anything which was a little bit red in alkaline phosphatases or a little bit brown, I use for the further study. But for the routine work, I would just consider strong, mostly cytoplasmic or membranous positivity as a potential candidate for the ALK. So for the immunohistochemistry, for the study design, we were very generous, but after the study, I would be relatively strict when to submit the case for the molecular studies.
So basically, we're not, overcalling, pursuing just weak positivity, focal positivity. But in general, you would follow up with FISH or NGS?
Yeah, exactly. We confirm every single case by FISH. We use the WISIS, but some of those cases were negative or just it was not entirely perfect. So we confirm later by NGS, by Archer platform, and only those cases which were confirmed by the NGS we put into the study. So I think if one wants to be serious, he should use or she should use all available methodics to confirm the diagnosis, because
good to know. But immuno probably is a good starting point as long as it's significant positivity that you're comfortable with. As far as just a word about the fish, you use the Vices Abbot, correct? Split apart. And and like you said, the Archer, for which is just becoming more available technique throughout. So that's very helpful. Let's delve then just into the morphology, a couple of minutes about describing the variability of these cases.
Yeah, I think it's extremely variable, speaking about the morphology, because we have other cases which I would say classic, but it's not classic at all. But those cases which are highly polymorphic in architecture, in cytology, and in the background. So those cases, they have a solid areas, papillary areas, some tubulary stuff. They look eosinophilic in some areas. They look more rhabdoid. So all those variability in a cytologic level. And what is for me the warning sign that it might be the case from that series is when you find some mucinous background or mucine or myxoid background, something bluish in between the cells. So if I have a variable tumor with this myxoid or mucinous background and variable architecture, this is the case I would think about. Just I would think about. Unfortunately, there is nothing diagnostic. If you ask me, say, three morphologic features, definitive morphologic features, I would say, I don't know. I just say variability. That's the index.
So in a tumor that's showing heterogeneity in architecture and cytologic features, especially what you mentioned, we'll come to the MTSC-like area in a second. But initially, you know, at least I, following the initial reports in lung and in kidney, I used to think of this tumor whenever I see a rhabdoid plasmacytoid or a signet ring-like cords and individual cells, but now this doesn't pan out anymore. Other patterns like tubulopapillary, and you mentioned even sarcomatoid and thyroid-like. Can you tell us about the MTSC and metanephric adenoma patterns that you found?
That's a nice story because it's the beginning of the whole paper because, you know, I like to play with strange things and I've got the inspiration from Marco Miettinen.
You mean strange tumors?
Strange tumors, yes.
Okay, all right.
Strange tumors. And Marco Miettinen, he inspired me because when we work on the paper with Anthony Gill about SDHB tumors or SDH deficient RCC, I asked Marco Miettinen, Marco, please, you should have a GIST with renal tumor. Send me those if you have. And he said, yes, of course I have. And he sent me three cases. I would expect this pink bubble wrap, as we know, typical for the SDHB RCC. Mm-hmm. But he sent me one case which looked like some clear cell something, very strange clear cell RCC, some maybe papillary RCC NOS, and something very odd. So he sent me three cases which were completely different from the old series we had. Mm-hmm. So we used them. So I said that we are testing the tumors which are typical or where we expect the mutation or translocation. Also, those cases we are sending to geneticists to test that for us. But we do not test the standard cases, the normal cases, which are just slightly unusual. So I asked my colleague in Zagreb, Monika Olamec, to do the tissue microarray, to construct from my cases, because we do not have a facility for construction. Mm-hmm. And I spread the ALK and ENTRK and other antibodies around those tissue microarrays. I found one tumor which was diagnosed by myself as metanephric adenoma, and I would repeat the diagnosis again, and one as a mucinous tubular and spindle cell RCC. So it was just tissue microarray. So then
And those turn out to be ALK.
Exactly.
Are part of this series of 12 cases.
Excellent. Interesting was that I pull out all our 200-something mucinous tubularis spindle cell carcinomas and 50-something metanephric adenomas, and I stained them again, and nothing, no other case. So it was just coincidence. That's interesting.
But good to know. So not every time we see a metanephric adenoma or MTSC, we have to worry about this, but keep it in mind, especially if you have other patterns in the tumor and the tumor doesn't fit any of your classic definitions. Excellent. So as far as new partners, you found some partners like CLIP, like Kia and what have you. Did it matter really, or it's too early to say what partner is forming the fusion?
I think this is too early to say something like that. It was, to be honest, I don't like to play any games. So to be honest, it was just coincidence that we were happy to find them and we had the technology to find them. So I think it's too early to predict anything. Like we have for TFE3, you know, in TFE3, we can say if there is a dead and nonopartner, we can expect such morphology. But I think it's too early for ALK tumors. It's just the beginning for us.
So maybe honest, similar to what happened with the MITF tumors as we build more and more cases. Yeah. Although it sounds like this is rarer tumors, but who knows? Maybe we're missing them. But it's probably going to take us a while before we understand the biology. So it sounds like our life, again, as GU pathologists and general pathologists, is getting more difficult when it comes to renal tumors. To the point that I feel anytime a tumor doesn't fit any classic, I start throwing immunos. Is that your approach? And how do you approach odd tumors right now? Just a simple poor man's way for the general pathologist to resolve these difficult cases?
I would like to say I'm still a general pathologist. I read even the appendicitis and all this odd, strange odd stuff. You know, I really do the routine medicine so far. But if I have a strange tumor, the kidney strange tumor, I'm always very generous for the blocks. So if I have a strange tumor, I always go back to the reserve and I take more blocks. And if in such case I have a difficulties, I start your approach exactly to throw everything I have in hand to try if there is something, you know, because those very rare cases and very rare tumors, they are rare and strange even in immunohistochemistry and morphology. So your approach, exactly my approach.
So it's fair to say that now, in addition to FH, fumarate hydratase, and SDHB and INI, you start adding ALK to that battery of immunos for these odd cases and see if any one of them
Definitely. And I try to support my immuno by the genetics as much as I can. Because, you know, immuno sometimes can be positive, negative. We know that from FH, it's a great lesson for us. FH tumors, you can have a FH positive tumors and they have a mutation or quite different. So I'm really careful for such diagnosis.
I see. So we still need genetics, but at least we can start with some immunos. Great. I know these are archival cases and from multi-institution, Calgary and Paris, I think, France, and many others. So you probably didn't have as much follow-up, although you mentioned average 3 years. But in terms of the treatment, and these are archival, so it was not, were these any of these treated with Creso or with targeted therapy for ALK, or do you have that information?
As I know, we do not have any information that they were further treated by any inhibitors. We have a follow-up for majority of the cases. However, they were archived cases. Only one was malignant or with metastasis. However, I would expect more because if you follow just the morphology, they are worrisome. They look wild, but maybe it's too early to make some conclusions.
So one out of the nine that you had follow up was alive with metastasis. So it remains as a carcinoma at this point.
And exactly, definitely.
And it's a little lower than the aggressive outcome rate that has been described in the prior, I think, around 25 or 26 in the literature so far. So it's probably too early, but we have to err on the conservative side that some of them will metastasize and potentially kill the patients, right?
Unfortunately, I have the same feeling that because they look wild, they look dangerous if you just go for the morphology.
Excellent. Well, thank you. This has been very informative, and I hope our audience, like myself, learned a couple of things about these rare tumors. How are things going in the Czech Republic? Hopefully, you're not hammered as us with the COVID pandemic.
Unfortunately, I think we are just right now number one in Europe in incidence. So COVID is here. Fortunately for us, majority of the cases have just mild symptoms or they are asymptomatic. But you know how the case is rising up, we can expect the patients with the severe disease. So actually we are in the second wave, or how do we want to call it? So let's see the future.
Well, good luck and please be safe. Give my regards to the colleagues and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank to all co-authors for enormous patience and for all hard work, because it was very difficult and complicated study, multi-institutional, and without support of the people from Calgary, Kirill Trpko, from Naoto Kuroda, from Kochi, from Japan, from Matilde Sibone, Abbas Agaimi, Kristina Majima Galuzzi, all the friends. They were very helpful, and without their help, I would never ever been able to finish that paper. Thank you. Thank you all.
Very generous of you. It's always a teamwork, and you're really representing everyone here. So thank you again.
Any opinions expressed in this podcast are the speaker's own and do not represent the views of Modern Pathology, Springer Nature, UAB, or USCAP. Your ModPath chat host and scientific director is Dr. George Netto. Producers are Christina Crow, Amber Jackson, Dr. Sarah Jang, and Dr. Catherine Ketchum. Technical direction is provided by Kaminsky Productions, music by Mitch Neubauer. Thanks to the authors, reviewers, and editors of Modern Pathology for making this podcast possible.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.